Epistle to the Colossians, chapter 1, verses 1 through 8.
Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit.
The epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Colossians seems to have been written by one of the apostolic helpers, Christian scribes, according to the inspired dictate of the Apostle Paul, and probably delivered to the Colossians by Tychicus and Onesimus, two disciples that were helping the Apostle Paul. The city of Colossae seems to have been located in Asia Minor, close to the city of Laodicea, the location of the last church addressed in the Revelation, chapter 3, verses 14 through 22. In the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 13, from the verse number 13 and on, I have not noticed any evidence that the Apostle Paul did preach the gospel at Colossae, the location of the Colossians, and the destination of this epistle. Having said all this, I am not absolutely sure that Paul did not preach at Colossae, and I am very much under impression that at least some of the leading Christians among the Colossians were converted by Paul's preaching. It appears to me that Paul was well known to the believers at Colossae as an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, the apostle to the Gentiles, which many of them were. I think that the purpose of this epistle includes the purpose of the messages in the Revelation, and the major goal of this epistle and the Revelation messages is the pure gospel teaching, rejecting pagan religions and religious influences, and rejecting Hebrew mixtures of customs, misinterpretations and misapplications of the law given through Moses' ministry. In this epistle, we can learn simple application of the pure gospel of salvation in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the only Savior of all that trust and obey Him. In the background of all epistles is one and the same foundation: salvation in Christ by His grace, received by our faith in Him, practiced by obedience to Him, with reverence toward Him, and in gratitude to Him for His grace working in us. That He, Christ the Savior and the Lord, might be all in all, and we in Him, to the glory of the Heavenly Father. In the first verse we have Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother. They are the senders of this epistle. I believe it would be quite correct to say the epistle of Jesus Christ by the will of God our Father, through the ministry of the Apostle Paul, sent by the Son of God, our Savior, our Master, and with the help and assistance of Timotheus, a faithful brother. The epistle has been addressed to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae. Colossae is a city in Asia Minor, the temporary earthly location of these believers. Christ, the Son of God, is the everlasting location of their souls and the real city of their everlasting residence, and eternal citizenship is the heavenly Jerusalem. Their earthly ruler could have been one of the Roman emperors, but their real king is the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Through this epistle, the Apostle Paul and Timotheus are meeting the Colossians, and in the second part of the verse number 2, saluting them, "Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." In this same chapter 1 of the Epistle to the Colossians, in the verses 7 and 8, we can see that the Colossians learned the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ by the preaching of Epaphras, which I believe was one of the disciples of the Apostle Paul, or better yet, a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ converted to the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ by the preaching of the Apostle Paul. It was the grace of God working in the Apostle Paul to preach the gospel to Epaphras and many others, and then by the grace of God through the preaching of Epaphras, the Colossians believed the gospel, and their faith and obedience to the gospel was the evidence that they have not only heard and learned, but also received the grace of God, and now it works in them. So at the time of the writing of this epistle, the Colossians are already in the grace of God, and Paul is saluting them, "Grace to you. May that grace never cease, never be rejected by you, and may it flow like the river of life from the throne on high, by the blessed and mighty, gentle, loving influence of the Spirit of Christ upon your souls. May it flow through your hearts, into your hands and feet, that ye walk in the light of the Word of God, and do the will of the Master to the praise of the Heavenly Father." And when they do that, the Colossians will have that deep inner peace, knowing that they serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and that He is their Savior, that they are pilgrims and strangers in this world, knowing that soon all the difficulties and the struggles of this life in the world will be over, and they're going to be with the Lord their Savior. All that knowledge and faith and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ gives them that pretaste of the heavenly peace, and all of that abundance, that wealth of heaven, comes to the Colossians and to everyone until this very day and until the coming, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of that comes from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. What a salutation and what greetings of love and peace in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In just a few words, the Apostle Paul, not being physically in the same location with the Colossians, is involved in a continuous labor of love and gratitude to the Lord on behalf of the Colossians. Thanksgiving for all the grace of God, thanksgiving for all the obedience and faithfulness of the disciples at Colossae, prayers and supplications to the Heavenly Father in the name and through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for the Colossians, and that activity is going on and on. That's the life of the Apostle Paul. In these first three verses, we can see the tone and direction and the purpose of this epistle. I would like to read these three verses again in one span. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Looking from this angle, I could say that the purpose of this epistle is God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. As if saying, no other gods, no other Savior, no substitutes for the gospel, no murky teachings, no dark activities. And I think it's going to go on and on through this epistle to the Colossians. God the Father, Christ the Son and the Savior. In the verse number 4, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love to all the saints. To me it appears to be like this. Epaphras, one of the faithful disciples who preached at Colossae and in that vicinity, the other cities throughout that region, witnessed the amazing and great blessing of the Lord upon his preaching, and Christ the Savior became the Savior and the Lord of many that got converted. They trusted in the Lord Jesus, they obeyed the teaching of the gospel, and now they are faithful. Not only they have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but also they have a testimony of their faith that is exercised, practiced in their love for all the believers. It's an amazing and wonderful experience. When one Christian, supposedly traveling or working somewhere, met another man whom the first one did not know personally, but working together or traveling together, they get to know one another more and more, and very soon they discover that they both believe in the same gospel and in the same Savior. Instantly among them there is going to be that flow of love and charity that our Lord and Savior has blessed his people with. Since the time Epaphras brought that testimony about the Colossians, Paul and Timotheus and the others that might be with them are giving thanks and praise to our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, and they keep praying for the Colossians. In the verse number 2, Paul is saying that the Colossians are the saints to whom this epistle has been sent. And these saints, Colossians, have love for all the other saints. Who are the saints? Saints are the believers in Christ that practice the gospel in their daily walk. They are the redeemed ones and the delivered ones from the darkness on the path of light of the Word of God, obedience to the Spirit of Christ the Lord. When the believers are saints in Christ, separated from the world of sin and iniquity, darkness and self-deception, self-pollution, self-destruction, when the believers are real saints in Christ Jesus, they have love for one another. But when the believers are neither cold nor warm, nominal and non-practicing so-called Christians, there is no love. There can be shallow kindness, but no true love in Christ. The love of our Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts is separating us from the world of sin and darkness. So the Apostle Paul and Timotheus are giving thanks to God for that faith and obedience, and for the love, charity among the believers. They are also giving thanks for that living hope that is in the hearts of the true saints, true believers, really separated from the world of sin, really united in the Spirit of Christ, truly walking in the light of the Word of God. And all the promises that they have heard in the gospel teaching, all the marvelous, glorious gifts and blessings that the Lord has for those that trusted and obeyed Him, are real to the true disciples, and they live in expectation of the fulfillment of all the promises of God in Christ Jesus. And now in the verse number 6, Paul is writing that that gospel, that teaching, that living word of God is come unto the Colossians, same way as it came to the whole world. How did it come? By the grace of our Heavenly Father given to us that believe in Christ Jesus our Lord and Savior. Again, this verse number 6. That gospel is come unto you as it is to all the world. And wherever that gospel has been received, it bringeth forth fruit, just as it does in you. Since the day ye heard of that gospel, that teaching, and since you recognized the grace of God in truth, in reality. In the verse number 7, we see the love of our Lord Jesus Christ for His own, as Paul is describing Epaphras, a dear fellow servant, a faithful minister of Christ our Lord and Savior. And because Epaphras was faithful and is faithful, and because he is faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ, and because the love of the Lord Jesus Christ is working through the preaching, and I am confident through the example also of Epaphras, the Colossians have learned the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. How much that meant to the heart of Epaphras, seeing that the Lord has blessed his gospel and multiplied the number of those that believed and obeyed the gospel. We can see that in the verse number 8. Epaphras declared unto Paul the apostle and Timotheus the faithful brother the love and faith of the Colossians, and that love is in the Spirit of Christ the Lord. In the second epistle of John, in the verse number 4, he wrote, I rejoiced greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. He greatly rejoiced. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, in the Gospel according to Luke chapter 15, from the verse number 4, the Lord is giving a parable, a comparison. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he findeth? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, the Lord said, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need not repentance. That is the joy that the world knows nothing about, the joy that the saints in Christ share, the joy of the Lord's salvation. May the Lord bless us and our testimony, our reaching out to the others that are not yet in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. May He bless us with true repentance, full conversion, victory over self and selfishness, sin and death, Satan and the world, new life in Christ, peace and joy of His salvation.